Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. The information we present is taken from the writings of Benjamin Krem, a disciple of a Master of Wisdom, and also from teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. We include teachings from many schools of thought to demonstrate how they are working out in the world. Our articles are often inspiring. We hope to inform the public of actions taken around the globe to improve conditions for us all and to find means of addressing some of our most pressing problems.
Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to today's program. This is a review by Carmen Font of the book The World Teacher for All Humanity by Benjamin Krem. And Mr. Krem says that it is largely a commentary on a number of articles written by my master for our magazine Share International between 1987 and 2002, together with questions and answers and a compilation of materials from public lectures in Japan in 2003 and 2006. The book addresses not only the details of the planned return of our planetary hierarchy and the changes that Maitreya's presence will bring about, it also focuses on Maitreya's advice to bring humanity to a choice between two courses of action.
On his day of declaration, Maitreya will invite us to choose either to continue with our present state of living and hence head towards self-destruction, or, to quote, to accept gladly his counsel to inaugurate a system of sharing and justice that will guarantee a peaceful and prosperous future for humanity, end quote. The process that leads us up to this point has now been set in motion, but it was not yet so in 2007 when The World Teacher for All Humanity was published. At that time, Maitreya's first interview had not yet happened, and the public was anxious as to when that initial media appearance would take place. Now, as per April 2014, when Carmen Font completed her book review, Maitreya has already given 130 interviews in four locations, United States, Mexico, Brazil, and Russia. His first interview was held in January 2010, and 4 years later we witnessed the unfolding of the events that Krem describes in the section titled The Timing of Maitreya's Emergence. We may not have fully realised the transcendence of this present time in which Maitreya is accepting so many interviews in the media. For many years, the hoped-for interviews did not materialise as Maitreya was waiting for the right timing. It was not an easy task.
To meet with people who are receptive and who can listen and put into practice what he is talking about is one thing, but to come on radio and television with sceptical interviewers is something else again. Not that he is frightened by scepticism, of course not. Maitreya never decides on the basis of how others may judge him, but on how the effect of his gradual emergence will affect the overall process of externalization. Even when hierarchy knows that humanity's response to the day of declaration will be massively positive, Maitreya is also fully aware that before that point is reached, he has to advance carefully to ensure the positive outcome of the plan. Humanity is prepared now, but it is still burdened with prejudice, fear, and anxiety. Only an event such as the day of declaration can unleash the inner potential and aspirations of humanity. Maitreya's words in contact with humanity on the day of declaration will seal the covenant between humanity and hierarchy. But before that day arrives, humanity is still struggling between its best aspirations and confusion about not being able to implement them fully. Maitreya made his decision to accept the first interview and hence to initiate the open process of externalization, balancing these and many more factors. Now we are right in the midst of this chain of events that will lead the world to face its most momentous decision.
The details and implications of how the set of interviews is developing are fully explained by Benjamin Creme. We learn, for example, that Maitreya knows not only all the questions, but also which questions he would like to be asked. The interviewer might then realize that he is asking something he did not intend to, and he is interviewing Maitreya without knowing him by his name. The journalist may recognize him as somebody wise and extraordinary, thus triggering the succession of interviews in countries with very different cultural frameworks and systems. Over the years, Benjamin Creme has been asked about the way these interviews would develop, and his answer, coming in fact from the master, will no doubt surprise. The quote is, "These groups like yourselves, who have been doing this work somewhat, over the years may be disappointed. You will be somewhat surprised anyway at the quietness of his approach, the lack of emphasis or the loss of an opportunity, you might think, to bring in all the big guns." This is a revealing piece of information that corresponds with what we are witnessing now. After so many interviews, Maitreya is emerging like a thief in the night, paving the way for the day of declaration, though sometimes we are perplexed by his method. On which media channel did he appear? Or why can't we know about these interviews in advance so that we can listen to them? Are there common inquiries among the public?
Mr. Creme reminds us that Maitreya has his ways and means. His appearances will become more and more frequent until he has a regular broadcast on television and radio around the world. This is happening now, and this is why this book is so timely to read, when the crumbling economic system is bringing the West to its knees economically and bringing it into reality for the first time. What a vivid portrait this is of what we are already experiencing in the West. But The World Teacher for All Humanity is not only worth reading because of Maitreya's appearances in the media now. After the first section of the book, in which Benjamin Creme highlights and contextualizes the way the world has changed since September 11, it offers renewed insights into the workings of the law of karma in relation to the entry of Maitreya and his reception, bearing in mind the multiple religious, cultural, economic, and political sensitivities in the nations. The question of terrorism comes to the fore. Quote, "It is a very difficult concept for people to grasp that there is a cause for terrorism. It is to do with the fact of the injustice which prevails in the world. That is a very difficult concept for Americans, especially, to take on board. The concept that justice is as real and as important as freedom. Very often we judge the effects of an action as if it were an isolated occurrence, without realizing its causes or background. If we did take these into account, we would gain an understanding of how to solve that particular situation and apply a fair measure of forgiveness."
Mr. Creme explains that forgiveness is one of the major laws that mitigate and lessen the force of karma. Karma is a law and it acts impersonally. If forgiveness is present in the person who has been harmed, that can mitigate tremendously the result of the law. At a time of high political tensions and economic distress, when political leaders are at a loss and society is outspoken and fearless about claiming its rights, it is easy to put the blame on everything and everybody and lose oneself in an endless tirade of denunciation. Forgiveness is what allows the injured party to detach itself from the set of causes that he is suffering and gain the necessary understanding to address the original problem. Maitreya himself is a model example of this, as Mr. Creme describes. This is the key to the statement I made about an insight into the heart of Maitreya, laden with all the anguish, the pain and suffering, misery, disappointment, yearning of millions of people, and at the same time able to be funny, to be joyful in the extreme, spontaneous in his relations with people he meets in the street. It is an inspiring example of detachment in which we can learn to act intelligently despite our fear and various degrees of discomfort. The relevance of this book at this time is its reassurance that everything is going according to plan and developing right now. Almost every page resonates with advice that applies to the present moment.
The book also urges the groups working for the reappearance to intensify their efforts. They are members, at a low level of course, of hierarchy and have been given an opportunity to serve. This plan of making the initial approach to humanity about the reappearance story and all the connected parts of it, it would never be done except for the exigencies of the time. One of the last sections of the book about the appendixes of articles by Benjamin Krem's master and a collection of intriguing photographs of crop circles is entitled Saving Ourselves. It is a refreshing piece since it inspires us to take responsibility over our own life, both personally and publicly. Maitreya comes as a teacher in the broader sense of the word, not as a religious or political leader. He will not save us in the sense of solving all of our problems. Even if most readers are aware of this fact, we tend to forget it and eschew responsibilities. When someone expresses anxiety about the gradual approach and the long time that Maitreya's interviews are taking, he or she is renouncing his participation in the process and expressing a lack of confidence in its outcome. This is why it is necessary that the teacher comes to remind us once again the laws of karma, rebirth, and harmlessness. We have to apply these laws correctly, writes Krem, dynamically to our lives, not just as an idea that remains in the head. It is not just a matter of knowledge per se. It is the instinctive response to the dynamic of the teaching. What does matter is if it becomes an active process in your life and leads you from awareness to awareness, initiation to initiation, and eventually to perfection. That is being saved, and nobody can do it but oneself. The World Teacher for All Humanity shows us how to transform our waiting for Maitreya, especially in the run-up to his full public emergence, into a proactive stance that could be defined as being in waiting. Let us be assured then that Maitreya's emergence is here, crossing the threshold into our everyday world and inspiring us to transform our reality as it has never been transformed before.
So that was Carmen Font's review of Benjamin Krem's book, The World Teacher for All Humanity. And our next article is by Benjamin Krem's master and was published in the August 1982 issue of Share International magazine. It is a fascinating look at what lies in store for humanity. The title is The New Civilization. At the beginning of this new age which is dawning, it is difficult for many to imagine the kind of civilization and culture which will grace the succeeding centuries. Most attempts to do so remain enmeshed in a materialistic vision. Seldom does one see the effort made to embody the aspiration of mankind for a life of spiritual meaning and expression. Let us try to envisage the future in terms of the new civilization and culture. Soon, the first steps will be taken in the direction of the new dispensation. Soon, the new signposts will be set, indicating the way ahead for humanity. At first, the changes will be gradual, but eventually, in quickening momentum, all will be refashioned. Let us consider the nature of the elements which will make up the new civilization. The outstanding attitude of the new time will be the attempt to create right relationships, to express goodwill. A massive shift in emphasis from the individual to the group will reorientate humanity along more fruitful lines and will reflect itself in the creation of structures more in keeping with the plan of God.
A further characteristic of the future time will be the desire to know better the nature of God and to come into closer relationship with that divinity. From being peripheral to men's lives, as is the case today, this aim will become paramount in the lives of millions. Accompanying this new approach to God will be a new reverence for all manifestations of life, thus bringing men into better alignment with the subhuman kingdoms. This new sense of responsibility for the lower kingdoms will speed their evolution and so serve the plan. Before long, a new approach to science will open the way for a complete readjustment in men's attitude to the reality in which we live. The new science will show humanity that all is one, that each fragmented part of which we are aware is intimately connected with all others, that that relationship is governed by certain laws, mathematically determined, and that within each fragment is the potential of the whole. This new knowledge will transform men's experience of the world and of each other and confirm for them the truth that God and man are one. Thus, the new science will demonstrate man's divinity and will lead to the establishment of the new world religion. The ancient schism between religion and science will be healed and a new impulse given to man's spiritual growth. In this fertile climate, the hidden psychic powers of man will unfold naturally, and the vast potential of the human mind will conquer space and time and control the energies of the universe itself. The resources of the human spirit are unlimited. In a crescendo of revelation, the glory of the unseen worlds will be revealed to man's astonished gaze, and the full magnitude of the divine creation will be realized.
All this awaits man as he stands on the verge of the Aquarian experience. The waters of life of Aquarius, channeled to him by the Christ, will awaken in him his dormant divine consciousness and show him to be the God he is. Under the wise guidance of the Christ and his brothers, man will attain the full stature of revealed divinity, which his birthright did he but know it. Stage by stage, century following century, man will build a civilization which will demonstrate his growing manifestation of divinity, a culture in which the beauty of the divine creation will be expressed in all its aspects, a mirror in which the divine idea will be reflected in all its glory. Thus will man take his true place in the scheme of things under the divine plan. Thus, under the inspiration of the Christ, will he transform this world, separated by fear, dogma, and hate, into that in which the law of love governs, in which all men are brothers, in which all that pertains to the divine nature engages man's attention and controls his life. Thus will man's dreams of divinity be realized, his potential achieved, his destiny fulfilled.
And that concludes the Master's article. Next up is a short extract from Maitreya's message number 8, in which he talks about man's readiness for change. My mission is but beginning, yet already there are the signs of response, of recognition that my advent is nigh. Many there are now throughout the world who feel my presence, who stand open and ready for my teaching. When I make myself known, I shall express the hope of all mankind for a new life, a new start, a readiness to change direction, to see the construction of a new world in which men can live in peace, can live free from fear of themselves or their brothers, free to create from the joy in their hearts, free to be themselves in simple honesty. My task is but beginning, but even now there exists in men's hearts a new light, a new hope, a sense of a new beginning, a realization that man is not alone, that the protector of all has sent his agent. It is that which I am.
And so that concludes our program for today. Thank you very much for listening in. If you would like more information, we have a very comprehensive website, and the address for that is share-international.org. And we would also be very happy to answer any questions or queries that you might have. Our email address for that is sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all.